Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm glad that you're interested in the podcast. You know, it's a free podcast, and it'll always be that way. But if you would like to give and help us out, that would be awesome, deeply appreciated. If you want to do that, you can do that through the Word of Life website or through the Word of Life mobile app. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
So talking about Hurricane Matthews, we're going to be talking about storms tonight. Storms. And since this storm is named Matthew, I figured we'd start off in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8 seemed apropos. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27, this famous story of Jesus calming the storm. It goes like this. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake, with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." When he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. And the disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." Amen. You know, I used to have a major anxiety about storms. How many of you have ever seen a little puppy or a cat that just freaks out when a storm's coming? Like, it's not even here yet, and they start freaking out because there's something in the air, right? That air that happens right before a big storm. Now, I don't have anxiety because of anything necessarily traumatic, but because I lived in Midtown St. Joseph in a house built in the 1920s that had a brick basement foundation. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Is anyone from St. Joseph? Hello. There's a lot of those. And when your gutters don't work right and you have a basement that's finished and you've put work into and you've got brick for foundation walls and one of those storms comes, I get so nervous because you know what's going to happen. You're going to be down in the basement, tearing back carpet, setting up fans, and I just freak out. I don't even live in that home anymore. I have a house that doesn't leak anymore, and every time a storm rolls in, I still get nervous, anxious, right? And I haven't even been through a tragedy like a hurricane or a tornado, so I can't imagine the kind of trauma that that would cause for someone who's actually been through something like that. For most of us, we get to experience storms and their beauty, right? So if you've ever been up to King Hill or Wyeth Hill and watched a storm front roll in from the west, it's gorgeous. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. It's that Midwest beauty, you know what I'm talking about? But there's a dark side of storms. There's an ugliness of storms. Storms bring a kind of darkness, a despair, a chaos and calamity. Seems to bring destruction in its wake. If you've ever lived in a place where you've experienced a natural disaster, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the dark side of a storm. It's really not captured in the pretty pictures we find on Weather Channel or, you know, Mike Brasciano's Twitter account. He retweets those cool pictures. Some of you may have seen some pictures from a place like Joplin in 2011. Anyone remember that storm? The tornado that swept through that community unannounced, unanticipated? I actually went down there on a relief team with Aaron Zond and Philip Zond. I think we got a picture of that. Yeah, there we are. That was a little while ago. So, Aaron, that's like a baby face, man. That's good. That's a good look. But yeah, you can see there. There's no beauty in that scene behind us, that landscape, especially not in those three faces. There's no beauty there. But there is beauty in the midst of that storm, in the way that disaster can bring a community together. My sister lives in Melbourne, Florida. She just moved there, and so this is their first hurricane. And she was talking to a gentleman that had grown up in that community, and he said, "Yes, the storm will come, and it will bring destruction, but it will also bring us together as a community like nothing else could ever do." So there is a dark side to the storm. But sometimes storms are necessary in life. Sometimes suffering and pain is the place of growth for us. God is a good God, and all good things come from God, but God will take a time of pain and suffering, and he will make all things, even things meant for evil, and he'll turn them for something good. And at times, following Jesus can cause what we feel like is a big storm in life, a time of chaos and calamity, because our world is getting flipped upside down because we've given everything to this new Jesus way. And Jesus sometimes is not nice and tidy, but things get a little chaotic because he's turning the world upside down, showing us a new way to live. But I believe with all of my heart that through the way of the cross, that suffering at times, that storm, that resurrection is on the other side. That he leads us through the storm into a bright new day. I believe that with all of my heart. All of these things, darkness, danger, destruction, chaos, calamity, they're true of physical storms, weather. But it's also true of the storms in our life. Maybe you're experiencing some of that as you walked in today. Tonight's message will answer this question, and rather quickly, so that we can all join in the table of the Lord and then have some fun together. But I would like to ask this question. How do we make it through the storm? How do we make it through the storms of life that come rolling in, sometimes unannounced? We didn't know that it would happen, but something came out of nowhere and wiped out everything that we knew as life, our family, our homes. We're still here, but we feel like we've lost everything. How do we make it through the storm? The title of tonight's message is An Anchor for the Soul. I've got an anchor here with us. We're going to be talking about storms and anchors tonight. Did you know that chaos and calamity, storms in life, are nothing new to the human experience? Because mankind's been around for a long time, and as long as we've been around, there's been storms. There's been dark times, despair and doubt, chaos and calamity. It's definitely nothing new to the followers of Jesus. You see, just because you follow Jesus, I always say this, it doesn't mean that life is now suddenly all rainbows and butterflies. I wish it was true, but let's get real. Sometimes following Jesus can be difficult. Jesus even says the way of following me, it's narrow at times. It's not all easy. There's not a lot of people that go there, but trust me. It leads to life. It's worth it. And I'll kind of give you a hint. It's in that narrow way, through the storm, the hard way, that's where Jesus is. I'd rather be with Jesus on the hard way than without Jesus on the easy way. Amen? Amen. So the early church, of course, especially in the first few centuries, they knew all about storms. I mean, they were watching their friends and family as they began to follow Jesus, this new king, Jesus, the one who was crucified, died, and was buried, but on the third day rose again and was announcing a new kingdom that has arrived, the kingdom of God from heaven. They were following him, and all of a sudden, the powers that be didn't like it very much, and they were suffering persecution. And they, too, were being crucified and tortured and murdered and martyred. And so they did a lot of their worship underground, right? They'd meet in homes and houses. And I was actually, I was able to go visit the city of Rome, Italy last year with my wife. It was a bucket list thing for us before we had our first baby. We wanted to go travel together, so we did that. And we ended up one day just walking through the streets of Rome and stumbling upon this church. I'm going to try this in my like Italian accent, all right? Santa Maria in Travestivare. Santa Maria in Travestivare. That's how they actually talk there. It's Travestivare is how we'd say it where I'm from down in the south. So Santa Maria was this beautiful church. Here's a picture of the inside. We just stumbled into this place. And this is a picture from that day, that evening, when we were just walking the streets of Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire. And this church stands, and you can tell that it's old, it's beautiful, it's been around for hundreds of years, and it's full of people. It was one of the best church services I had been in all year. The Holy Spirit was present. They had like songs with like a whole percussion section going in this Roman Catholic confirmation service. And they said you weren't allowed if you were a visitor to come in because of tourism, you know. But we just ignored those signs. It just went right in and found us a seat, acted Italian, you know. Just didn't speak. Anyway, this church, I researched it. Because it was just a beautiful church. In the middle, it just like, it wasn't on the map necessarily. It was just we stumbled into this church. This is one of the churches that had been around since the first 200 years of Christianity. In that place, Christians were meeting in a home that then became a church that then was tore down and rebuilt and tore down and rebuilt. So that when you walked in the front doors, they had pieces from all of the old buildings that had been destroyed around the front doors, segments and pieces. You see, those are not stones. Those are actually pieces of building that they had saved from the previous buildings that had been torn down because of persecution or natural disaster and or war, and they would rebuild it. And there was one stone that stood out to me that was very special, I found. Right next to the front door was this ancient stone with an anchor. Did you know it was like the first 300 years of the church, the anchor was a Christian symbol? But then all of a sudden it kind of seemed to disappear. So that tells me that this is one of those original stones. This goes way back. And I just had to stop and think. I'm standing in a place where there's a long legacy of believers, of followers of Jesus, who have suffered storms in life and have held on to the anchor of hope that Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer. That He's the one that we hold on to that keeps us in the midst of the storm, that brings us through to the other side. It was this symbol that Christians held on to in the midst of great persecution, in the midst of chaos and calamity, darkness and despair. They would hang on to a trust in Jesus. A trust in Jesus. Do you know why we trust in Jesus? Because Jesus is trustworthy. He is worthy of trust. He has proven Himself as the one that you can trust, because Jesus is the God who is as faithful as the sun that rises in the east day after day after day. Jesus is the one who proves Himself faithful and trustworthy, especially as we read in Scripture. We read story after story after story God's faithfulness, especially in the person of Jesus, to bring healing and restoration and redemption, salvation. One of those stories we just read in Matthew 8. The story of Jesus calming the storm. I believe that there's a few things that we can learn from this story of Jesus calming the storm. A few things that we can hold on to in the midst of our own storm that will help us answer the question, how do we get through the storm? And the first thing that I believe this story reminds us of is that in the midst of the storm, remember that you are not alone. You are not alone. The disciples weren't alone. They were in this thing together. This is a community, worship and community night that we have here tonight. It's about loving God with all of our heart and loving our neighbor as ourself. And who is my neighbor? Well, it seems to be that my neighbor is anyone who is in need, foe or friend. And so the first thing to remember in the midst of the storm, when you are the one in need, is that we as the church are here for you. That's what we're called to be, a refuge from the storm, a shelter from the storm, as Bob Dylan puts it. A refuge in the midst of chaos, a place to come to find safety and solitude. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you are a sinner or a saint, rich or poor, a donkey or an elephant. Politics don't matter here. We all walk in the doors and we belong here together as those who are surviving the storms of life. Those who have survived storms, those who are surviving storms, and those who will inevitably have to survive some storm in some capacity. We stand together and we stand saying that we are not alone in this, but that we are in this world through these storms together. And in some way, hopefully, our unity, our love for one another, our genuine community despite our differences, brings about like a light, a beacon, like a lighthouse on a shore of a dark ocean, rocky seashore, to the rest of the world, like a light that shines and says, this is the way to do it. This is how you can navigate through life. Join in this community of love where anyone is welcome here. The doors are open. All you have to do is walk through them. You're not alone in the midst of the storm. When you feel alone, you get in the car, you get on the bus, you pick up the phone, and you get to church. Because our temptation is to get out of church, and we get this voice in our head of the accuser. Nobody likes you. Nobody cares. But I'm here to say tonight, if you're in the midst of the storm, we care. We're here for you. You're not alone. Number two, the disciples weren't alone. They were in it together. And then when things go south, when things go sideways, what do? They ask for help. They shake Jesus and they say, Jesus, we need your help. And I always imagine Jesus as a grumpy person in the morning because he wakes up and he's just grumpy and starts rebuking stuff, right? He's like, golly, it's a storm. Would you shut up, right? I said, be quiet, silence. Wind in the waves, calm down. I'm trying to sleep. Right? But the disciples, what do? They aren't afraid. They know Jesus is not a morning person. They've been around him long enough to know. But at some point, things get so bad, they're like, okay, it's time to ask for help. Jesus, wake up. We need your help. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Scripture says that wisdom comes in a multitude of counselors. You're not alone. And here's the thing. Genuine community comes when we're willing to be transparent about our struggles, about our storms, about what we're going through. This is not a place where you've got to put on a happy face and act like you've got it all together. This is a place where you can come and be real and ask for help. Help from your Savior Jesus and help from your fellow believers. Help from the people here, whether you feel like you believe or not. We're here to help. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be open. When you have a need, know that your Father in heaven, he knows what your need is before you even ask, and he's a good father. And he'll take care of you. He takes care of the birds of the air. How much more will he take care of you? We need to ask for help when we're going through the storm. Number three, and this is my favorite. Know that in the midst of the storm, Jesus is always with you. Jesus is with you always. Those were his last words to his disciples. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Through ups and downs, through thick and thin, through chaos and calamity, Jesus stands with us, present with us in the storm. You might feel like he's sleeping, like he's taking a nap, but I promise you this, he's with you, and he will bring you through the storm. He will bring you through the storm. What does he do? He gets up, he rebukes the winds and the waves. They calm down. Then he looks at the disciples, and what does he say? I'm going to go King James Version. Oh, you of little faith. I feel like when he says, oh, it's like, listen up. Oh, you of little faith. Now, when I hear that, sometimes I feel like we take that like Jesus is condemning the disciples. Why didn't you have more belief? Why didn't you have more faith? And why did you wake me up when you had, why didn't you have enough faith to leave me sleeping and you just speak to the wind and the waves? That's what I feel like a lot of times growing up that passage meant. I read it like this. Jesus rebukes the disciples after he rebukes the wind and the waves and says, why didn't you have enough power to stop the storm? But then I got to thinking about this. I'm like, that's just mean, Jesus. Who do you think I am? I'm counting on you. I'm not trying to do this thing in my own power, in my own might, my own faith. Who am I to have any sort of power over things to make things happen like I want them to happen? Anytime I try to make stuff happen, it goes sideways, it goes wrong. I think Jesus is saying this. You have little faith. Why didn't you trust me? What if faith is more about trust than it is about power? What if it's trusting that in the midst of the crazy chaos of a storm in life, when we feel like the waves are coming in and things are about to go down and we're going to drown and our lives will be lost, when destruction is inevitable, faith looks like this. Jesus, I trust. When you said those words, I am with you always, I believe you. I trust you. I'm reminded, oh, the sun rises every morning in the east. So great is your faithfulness that you will never leave me or forsake me. My mother, my father, they might abandon me, but my God, he will never abandon me, never leave me, never forsake me. Jesus, you promised you would be with me always. I put my faith in that. I put my trust in you because you're trustworthy and true. Jesus, I trust you. You are my anchor. Not some power in my own self or trying to work up some amount of faith so that I can have power to make things happen the way I want them, but surrendering my entire situation over to Jesus and just saying, Jesus, I trust you. I rest in you. I'm in the midst of chaos, the storm right now, but I believe you're still with me. I'm not alone, and I'm asking you for help. I need your help. And here's the thing. Even if it all falls apart, Jesus is still faithful beyond the grave, beyond the end. Because you know death is the end. For humans, death is the end. And so Jesus actually comes through the end, the ultimate enemy, death itself, and comes through the other side and resurrection life. And he says, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. When I'm raised in the last days, you'll be raised with me, and I'll set all things right. No matter how bad things get, he is the God of resurrection. As Pastor Derek said, Jesus is in the business of putting together broken pieces. So even if the storm batters your life into a million pieces, it's still Jesus who's present to put them back together again. Amen? Amen. And I'm not just talking about a general and vague optimism. I'm talking about a real trust in a real God who is present with us in the highs and the lows. Amen. Hebrews 6, I'm going to get ready to close tonight, and then we're going to come to the table of the Lord. Hebrews 6, verse 18 and 19 says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. I will be with you always. Two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have a great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. This hope in Christ is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. If Jesus is the anchor that we hold on to, then I really want to say this. I think the rope at times, the thing that we hold on to that's connected to the rope, this for me is the church, community. Proverbs says that a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. When we come together as community, sometimes it's the only thing that people have to hold on to as they try to hold on to the anchor of hope in Christ. Because Jesus at times is way out there for people. And we're the ones to connect them to Jesus. We're their rope sometimes. We may be the only thing they have to hold on to. And so I want to encourage you to be present, just as Jesus is present for those around us. Let's not just be the church so we can get stuff, get fed. Let's be the church so that people have something to hold on to in the midst of life storms, connecting them to the ultimate anchor of hope, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you stand on your feet tonight? You are not alone. When you're going through the storm, ask for help. And remember, Jesus is with you always. And he's here tonight, present at this table and this bread and in this cup. In just a moment, ushers will release you row by row to come and participate in the broken body of Christ. He knows what it's like to be broken and battered and beaten by the waves of life. He's present here in this cup. And someone will say, the body of Christ broken for you, take the piece of bread. And someone else will say, the blood of Christ shed for you, take the bread and dip it in the cup. And then participate in the life of Christ, the hope of the world, the anchor that holds us steadfast in the midst of the storm. Amen. Amen. Would you join me in making our confession tonight? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. And it is made ready for those who love him and for those who want to love him more. So come, you who have been here often and you who have not been here long. You who have tried to follow and you who have failed. You who have much faith and you who have little, come. For it's the Lord who invites you. It's his will that those who want him should meet him here. Amen.